Let's pray as we look into the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this morning. We thank you for the chance to praise you, to worship you. And we thank you for the chance to look into your word, the things that you have to say to us. Help us to listen, Lord. Help us to pay attention to your word, to understand and to take it into our hearts, Lord, that we might deal with the things you speak to us about. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Silence can be uncomfortable, can't it? Sometimes we don't know what's happening when there is silence. It's one of the worst things that can happen on radio. If there's silence for more than a few seconds, they call it dead air. And people start panicking, start running about trying to work out what's gone wrong. On our Sunday mornings, we've been working our way through the book of Jonah. And we've taken a break from that with last week. We had our missions service, and this morning we're taking another break from Jonah. We're back again next week, and we've got two sessions to go in the book of Jonah. But we've got a gap, a short break in between. Now, there's one thing I really like in music. I like a gap. I like a break. I like a pause. In music, it's called a rest. When you get the notation in the music, they've got different marks for different notes, and then there's a separate mark for do nothing, for silence. Now, I'm a bit wary here because I've got the music team right in front of me, and I don't know anything about musical theory, really, but I think that's the way it works. And I really enjoy it when the music's playing away, and then suddenly there's a stop for a beat or a couple of beats, and then the music comes back in again. It's dramatic. It draws your attention. It gives you a dynamic contrast with the silence and the sound. And it's something that makes a difference to the music. A break in our lives can have a similar effect. It can be something that gives us a chance to do something different. It can make a contrast in our lives. We sometimes call it a holiday. Because in times past, the only time you get any time off work was when there was a holy day and you had to go and worship at church or something like that. But holiday can be a great thing. It can be a chance to rest. It can even just be a change, a break from the norm. A chance to break the patterns that we've been following in our lives. If we're working or if we're studying, then it can be a chance to rest, to recharge, to recover, whether that's in body or in mind. And it can give us a renewed vigour when we return back to the normal routine. A break, a rest can be a good thing. It's not always a good thing, though. Sometimes it can cause us problems. We had a big break in our worship services when COVID came along, didn't we? In-person worship came to a halt. We had to work out a different way of being able to meet together and talk together and share the word. And even when we returned back to the building, we were limited in numbers. We weren't allowed to sing out at all. When we returned to normal, it was great to be able to sing out with gusto. And there were good things in that. We really appreciated the chance to sing when we hadn't been able to sing. We appreciated the chance to meet one another and talk to one another and shake hands when that had stopped for a while. But there were bad things as well. People struggled during that break. Some people haven't returned. Some people have drifted off. They've got out of the habit of going to church and they've just not come back. Or they decided it wasn't for them. So there are good things and there are bad things. There are dangers in a break, but it can be a refreshing thing as well. In our passage today, we're going to look at a pause, a break, a silence. Look at what it says to us in the context of the book and what it can say to us today. We read from Revelation chapter 8, and the first verse says, "When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." John here has been shown a vision of heaven. He's been brought up and shown what heaven is like. He sees the throne, he sees God sitting on the throne, and there's a scroll. It's got the word of God on it. It's written on both sides. It's full of the word of God, and John longs to see what it says. But there's only one who is worthy to open that scroll, and it's the Lamb of God. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, comes and starts taking off the seals. There are seven seals sealing the scroll. And as he takes off each seal, John is shown something on the earth, the terrible things that are happening in the world. And then we get to the seventh one. Now, I don't know if you've thought about what this might look like, what this scroll might be like visually. I looked up pictures of it to see what other people thought it looked like. And in most cases, it was a round scroll, and the seals were right across it, so that you couldn't open it at all until the seventh one was taken off. Alternatively, it could be a scroll where the seven seals open up a part of the book each time, and you get to read some of the Word of God. I think it's probably the former, because of what happens when the seventh seal is opened. And finally, the Word of God can be read, because it tells us when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. We're finally going to see the whole scroll opened up, the Word of God read. What will it contain? From what we've seen beforehand, it's likely to be the judgment of God on the world. But what will that look like? So there is anticipation. Like when the music stops in the middle of a song and there's a gap and you're waiting to see what happens next. Is that it? Is that the end? Is it going to slowly start to build again? Is it going to suddenly come back? There's an anticipation. There's a silence for half an hour. That's a long silence. We this morning stood and we were silent for a minute. And that can seem like a long time, can't it? Sometimes you're just standing there and you think, is a minute finished yet? Is it just half a minute? It seems like five. We spent time in silence contemplating the Lord as we sat around the table. It was silent in heaven for half an hour. And that's a contrast to what has gone before, because when we read the earlier chapters, we find that John was shown heaven and there was a throne of God, and around the throne there are angels and the saints, and they're singing praises to God. Holy, holy, holy. So there is song, there is praise, there is noise, and then silence as the seventh seal is opened. What is going to be revealed? This silence is anticipation, ready to hear the word of God. I don't think anyone there would be looking at their watches and wondering when this half hour was going to be up. Ready to hear, straining to hear the word that was spoken. You know, we spend time praising God, we spend time praying, we spend time telling God about our problems, we tell him how great he is, we tell him what we want, we implore him for things. When do we just stop? When do we just stop and listen to what God has for us? Anticipate his word. Maybe that's something we should do more of. Maybe that's something we should practice in our life. To pray to him, yes, but also to then stop and in silence listen for him to speak to us. That should be part of our daily lives. A bit of advice though, if you're going to do that, don't ask God to speak to you just as you're going to your bed. Because you can ask, and then you can close your eyes, and then you wake up the next morning and nothing's happened because you just fell asleep. So ask the Lord to speak to you Give him time and listen. That was a silence in heaven. I'd like to think as well about a silence on earth. In the last few weeks, we've read Psalm 46 twice. It's come up twice in our morning services. And there was something that struck me about Psalm 46 when we read it. And it changed my perception of that passage and of a phrase that we use quite a lot. Let's look at Psalm 46 in our Bibles. Psalm 46, starting at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. We use that verse quite a lot, don't we? We hear it all the time. Sometimes we think of it as a suggestion that we should contemplate the nature of God. And that's not a bad thing at all. That's a good thing that we should contemplate God. But that's not really what the verse is saying in this psalm. Look at the context of it. Come behold the works of the Lord. It's not saying there that we should think about the flowers and the animals and the mountains. It's saying let's contemplate the God of desolations. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease. This is a God who intervenes in wars among men. He makes wars to cease. Isn't that what we want to happen in so many places around the world today? We pray for the war in Ukraine, we pray for Tigray, we pray for the situation in Iran. All over the world there are problems, there are wars, there are fightings, and we want these things to cease. We want peace to rule. We want God to deal with oppression. Our God is the God who breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot. Be still and know that I am God. This isn't a suggestion. It's a command. War is raging, and at the word of God it stops. Think about the disciples in the boat. They're rowing across the Lake Sea of Galilee, and a storm brews up. It's raging all around them, and they're scared. And they come to Jesus, who's sleeping in the back of the boat, and they wake him up and they say, Lord, don't you care that we drown? And Jesus gets up and he says, peace, be still. And the storm is gone. The sea is silenced. The wind is stilled. At the word of God, the power of God is seen. He has calmed the storm. Calmed is too soft a word for it, isn't it? Calmed is something that you might do for, say, a horse that is frightened. You might whisper sweet things to it and calm it down. Or a child that's had too much lemonade and they're running about. You calm them down by gently sort of speaking to them and gradually they might calm down. That's not what happened here. Jesus silenced the storm. He spoke and it was still. Our God is the God who causes wars to cease. What was the response of those who were with Jesus in the boat when they saw this happening? Mark says, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They saw the power of Jesus and they wondered and they feared, because here was the power of God displayed before them. Be still and know that I am God. If Jesus could silence the storm on the Sea of Galilee, if God is the God who can stop wars, cause wars to cease and cause desolation, cause silence, can he silence the storms in our lives? Can he still the wars that go on in our lives? It would be nice to have a life of peaceful, quiet contemplation. Every day was nice and gentle, but that's not reality, is it? For many of us, there are storms going on daily. There are wars going on in our lives. You know that every year they start naming the storms, and they start with the A and work their way through the alphabet, so you can talk about Storm Arwen and Storm Billy and things like that. Sometimes it gets to J or K if it's been a particularly bad winter. What's it like in your life? Have you gone all the way through the alphabet and you're back to A again? Because there are constant storms. It's in the midst of these stormy times that Paul tells the Philippians they can have peace. God can cause those storms to stop. A peace that passes understanding, because it's not something that happens naturally. It is supernatural. How do we get that? How can that peace be something in our life when everything's going on round about? Paul says, don't be anxious for anything. Instead, hand it over. Come to God with your prayers and your supplications. Hand it over to Him, and He will give you peace. Silence in heaven, silence on earth, and then silence under the earth. Let me read from Psalm 115. The last three verses of Psalm 115. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Death is the ultimate silencer. Those who go down to the grave never again make a sound. Their lips are stilled. The psalmist says the dead do not praise the Lord. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? And yet the verse doesn't stop there. There's a but. And with confidence, the psalmist says, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Not just we will bless the Lord until we die, we will continue beyond that time. Because he is confident. He's confident that all who know the Lord have everlasting life. The grave will not silence them. Because the very next second after death, they are with the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Can you say with that same confidence that away from this life, you're on to the next life? You're with the Lord. If you do, then you can say with the psalmist, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. If you don't, think about what the Bible has to say to you. Sin is real. Repentance is necessary. Jesus has paid the price. We need to come to Him. Look for forgiveness and accept that everlasting life. So there's silence in heaven, silence on earth, silence under the earth. What happens afterwards? What happens after the silence? The silence in heaven was anticipation, waiting for the word of God. The silence on earth was in subjection, in obedience to God, when God stopped everything. The silence in the grave was because of separation. Those who were separated from God would speak no more. But what happens afterwards? In music, it might be anything. There might be a very slow build-up. There might be a sudden crash as the music comes in again. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 8 and find out what happened in heaven. Revelation 8 verse 1, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them, And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The seventh seal is opened. The word of God is read, and tribulation comes on the earth. And there's these seven trumpet judgments. And it's interesting, if you read forward, you'll find between the sixth and the seventh trumpet judgment, there again is a pause. And the bowl judgments after that, between the sixth and the seventh one, again, there's this pause. An angel comes to the throne with a censer that is the prayers of the saints, and the sweet savour wafts up to the Lord. And then the angel takes fire from the altar and he dashes a censer down to earth. This is the Lord taking the prayers of the saints and answering them. And the answer is punishment on the world, which they had prayed for. Earlier on in Revelation we read, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, those who were to be killed as they themselves had been. We cry out to the Lord. Sometimes we cry out to him and ask for justice. And justice will be done. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes the Lord says, wait, but there will come a time. We need to give God a space in our lives to speak to us. We need that time of silence so that we can hear him. Remember Elijah, when he was led to the mountain and there was thunder and there was fire and there was earthquake and God was not in those things, but there was a still small voice. Elijah had to strain to hear it. There had to be silence for Elijah to hear the word of God. Let's listen to him in anticipation for what he has for us. Let's rest in the peace that he offers us. Peace that is beyond understanding. And let's tell others how much they need him. Because we know that we will praise the Lord forever beyond the grave. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers. And we thank you that you are a God who responds, who brings justice to this world. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, because we know that justice would fall on us if it were not for him, for the sacrifice and the cross. Lord, help us to be hearers of the word. Help us to spend time listening to you, seeking for your will in our lives, for your guidance. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.